very good day to you all, and welcome to the third season, the first episode of the third season, mind you, of Food with Mark Bittman. A very special welcome for those of you who are joining us for the first time, and you might want to check out some of the earlier podcasts from just last year. I'm Mark Bittman, as you probably know, and I'm excited for our relaunch. A great lineup of guests and plans and hopes and dreams and conversations about all aspects of food, from your grandmother's special way of dealing with rice or potatoes or tomato sauce, to how to best win the fight to start growing food that will nourish our people without destroying our land, and everything in between. Recipes, the places you've eaten recently, a policy issue we're interested in, whatever. And of course, guests. We're starting the season off with Laura Linney, a wonderful person and a great interview. And in the course of the next few weeks, we're going to have some impressive and wonderful people, including Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, my friend and one of the country's most knowledgeable food scholars, Ricardo Salvador, the brilliant and hilarious Sam Irby, the brilliant and seriously thoughtful Frank Bruni, Sheldon Simeon, Allison Bechtel, Al Roker. The list goes on, and it's still growing. Please join us, subscribe, give us many stars or whatever it is you're supposed to do, and most of all, please listen, enjoy, and reach out. We'd love to hear your questions. We hope to begin doing live Q&A this season, and any suggestions are welcome as well. Reach out to us at food@markbittman.com, and please check out and subscribe to the Bittman Project newsletter at bittmanproject.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Laura Linney is obviously not known for food, but for her acting. But you'll hear us discuss how everyone is either frustrated by or obsessed with food, or both. And, you know, that's another way in which food ties us all together. You probably know Laura Linney from her extensive theater work. She's the daughter of famed playwright Romulus Linney. She attended Juilliard. She's been nominated for 5 Tonys. Or maybe you know her for her work on TV and in the movies. She's perhaps best known for The Truman Show, You Can Count on Me, and Love Actually, and of course is starring in the final season, as she did in the prior 3 or 4, whatever it was, of the giant Netflix hit Ozark. There's a separate Wikipedia page just for her filmography, so chances are you've seen her somewhere. And in case you're wondering, She probably falls into the frustrated by food category, but more of that to follow. I'm glad to be back. Here we go. Laura, welcome to Food with Mark Pittman.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. I have a question for you. Do you think in terms of taste? When you're thinking of a meal or you're thinking of an ingredient, do you have the sensation of the taste of those combinations of things?
It's not visceral. I guess I wish it were, but I do know what things taste like and I know what they're going to taste like together without tasting them. So there's just a lot of experience in there.
Are there things that still surprise you?
I mean, who's interviewing whom, but...
Hey, I got the chance. I'm going to take it.
I have this ongoing conversation with a friend of mine named Bob Klein, who runs a company called Community Grains, and they do whole grains, brilliantly sourced, blah, blah, blah. And they make pasta. And he and I have had these conversations over the last year, maybe longer, about figuring out sauces that work better with whole wheat pasta than they do with white pasta. And the converse, that is, you want to have, it's not a compromise to have them with whole grain pasta. You want to have them.
You want to.
So as I said, I'm jet lagged. It's 11 o'clock. I decided to eat breakfast at 10:30. I mean, lunch, whatever. So I cook some of his pasta and I make it. First, I made a sauce, which I was running back and forth to the computer. So I did it haphazardly, but it was tomatoes, which I freeze tomatoes from the garden. So it was defrosted tomatoes and capers and olive oil and anchovies and shallot. And I think that was it. But I cooked it a long time, cooked it like an hour. And then I made this pasta. And first of all, it cooks fast. Whole grain pasta cooks faster. And I'm sure there are reasons for that, but we don't need to go into it. But it cooked really quickly, but I caught it before it was overdone. And I combined it with that sauce. And I thought it's the most delicious thing. Now, I'm jet lagged. I'm out of my mind. I'm really hungry, etc.
Yeah, but it's great.
But there was
how literally delicious, how spiritually delicious, how figuratively, how realistically, how factually delicious, how wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I was happy. But the interesting thing was, because your question was, do I know what things are going to taste like? The interesting thing was halfway through eating this, like this tastes like it has butter in it. This is really delicious and has that warmth and unctuousness. And there's one anchovy. It's not the anchovy, although that's a factor. I think it's got to be the whole grain pasta. It really had a different character than it would have if you were making Berea white spaghetti. This was like really delicious. And it wasn't only because I was, you know, tired and blah, blah, blah. So there's always surprises. I mean, I thought it was going to be the most ordinary thing. And I just came back from, as I've said, probably twice, 6 weeks in Rome. So I've been eating plenty of
really
decent pasta.
Yeah. I love talking to people who are artistic in different fields to see, you know, what is the same, what is different about process, what is inherently just in the nature of being artistic within a certain realm, whether that's food or theater or film, and to see like where things are parallel, where things are really very different, what's vocational, what's professional, what's, you know, and at least for me, I know that if I'm not surprised at least once a day, then I've stopped working. Then something has stopped. I'm not evolving anymore. Like I can't be too knowing. When you get to be too knowing,
yeah,
at least for me.
No, I get it.
It goes stale or stunted or
I think curiosity is really the key to enjoying, certainly work, many other things also.
And then just the wonder, but how much positive surprise is necessary? You know, a sort of reaffirming surprise within your realm of work, how that's necessary to keep going. To every once in a while be like, oh, wow, look at that. Or, oh, my goodness, that's better than I thought it would be. Or, oh, wow, that went in a totally different direction than I thought it would. And I've been thinking a lot about that as I'm getting older and have been doing this now for a while. What are the things that I need to make sure I stay open to? And I think as people, you know, have decades of experience in things, they can let their foot off the gas a little bit. And just want to make sure I'm still connected somehow.
I assume you have as much work as you want and can handle. How do you judge something so that you want to say yes to it?
I think reading a script is very much like reading a recipe, because you know the ingredients involved, you know how things come together. And if I start working on a script before I finish reading it, if I can't help myself, if connections are being made, if I'm seeing things like a chessboard, or if I'm looking at it and I all of a sudden, like a blueprint, it starts to sort of come off the page while I'm reading it, then I know I have to pay attention to it. If I just read it and it's just words on a page, or I'm not sucked in, or I'm not having any visceral response to the material, then I realize it's not for me. But usually a good director helps. You know, other great actors help. Great writing helps. You know, one of those three things has to be there, at least one. If it's two, great. If it's all three, it's a slam dunk.
I heard this anecdote about you and Elizabeth Strout. Now I can't remember where it was, where you said to her, well, maybe William is having an affair. This is obviously, have to have read Elizabeth Strout to know what I'm talking about, but let's hope enough people have, or it doesn't matter.
It's
interaction with the author led her to do something completely different than what, or was a revelation for her, and a sort of a gift, it sounded like.
Yeah. Well, she has very quickly become one of my favorite people on the planet. You know, I was lucky enough to do My Name is Lucy Barton, and she was in on a lot of the rehearsals, and we just like each other. We just get each other in a way that has been really nutritional for me, nutritious for me, to have a friend like that. And I think I did something in rehearsal where I asked a question about William, and Elizabeth says that I, you know, put my glasses on top of my head, which is something I do all the time. And then she had a bit of a, you know, a door opened in her mind about where the story had to go from what she has shared with me. Then Oh, William, which is her latest novel, sort of tumbled out. So I was
really cool,
thrilled to be a tiny part of someone else's artistic birth there.
It's such a great story. She's sort of on my list of people to try.
Oh, for, get her. Oh,
she's now my favorite. I mean, I feel like I've been reading nothing but for about a month. I read Lucy Barton first, and then I read Abide With Me. And
have you read Anything Is Possible?
No, I read Isabel really and good. Amy, which I thought was amazing.
No, she's fantastic.
I was sort of thinking I'd read them in order now. I guess I've jumped around.
You can't do wrong. Whichever way you go, you can't do wrong. It's wonderful stuff. And I must say, being able to sort of embody her work, being able to say those words every night on and off for 2 years, you know, was really just such a treat. When the writing is that good, oh my God, it just makes it all so easy.
I mean, this was one of my questions. It doesn't start to feel like work.
It's when just, it's good.
I mean,
when it's good,
it's a day job, and it feels great.
When things don't work, when you don't get along with someone, when the writing isn't good, when it feels clunky, and when you feel disconnected from your body, when it feels like sawdust in your mouth, when it's awkward and you know you're bad, it just, that's when it's hard work. When things are aligned, when things just for whatever magical reason come together, it really sort of takes on a life of its own, and you just get on the conveyor belt and you let it, like the current just goes through you, and you just try and deliver it to people, you know, and just get out.
Writing is like that.
Oh my God.
Sometimes when it works. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure. It's like it's like a good relationship. Like, you know, great relationships are, you know, when they're easy, they feel divine. When they're really hard, unless you get off on, you know, being in conflict all the time, which some people do, like,
yeah,
you know, okay.
Some people do.
That's true in the theater and in film as well. But it's a relationship that you have with material. But when it works, it's heaven. And when it doesn't, you want to go home and crawl into bed and never come out.
So does Ozark work? If it looks like an ensemble that works, but is that?
Yeah, it was heaven. Those situations don't come along very often. So I've had a very wonderful past few years between My Name is Lucy Barton and Ozark, you know, in two different mediums to have situations that were just so fulfilling and fun to do. And it's been a great few years.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. I don't take it for granted.
One of the things about Ozark, obviously Lucy also, but Ozark particularly, that we were thinking about was that
Wendy and Ruth and Helen and Darlene, there's others, are like tough, smart, interesting women. And maybe that's not new, but you think of sort of in TV at least, or series, you think of Carmela Soprano as being sort of this, first of all, you know, she was an amazing actress.
Edie is spectacular.
Like, you know, she was like, and the role was like, she was made for that role. But that was such a great character. Whenever she was on the screen, you were happy. It was like, as a viewer. And that is becoming, or is it becoming more common? I think it's becoming more of the norm that, well, what do I want to say? That women aren't just on screen to be beautiful. That would be ridiculous.
But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. There's a cultural thing in television where characters for women were not terribly deep and were not allowed to really affect plot or narrative. And that has changed over the past, especially since television started to, with streaming, with all these channels and so many film people coming into television. I think there has been a bit of the sweater's been stretched a bit. But what was different with Ozark is that it wasn't just one woman. It was several women. It was lots of women. I also sort of loved that we were all blonde. I thought that was not intentional, but I just sort of loved that it turned the stereotype right on its head. That you had all these blonde women sort of, you know, charging around doing all this stuff.
It is a good question. I like your answer. Thank you. And I was thinking about, is it the Bechdel rules? You know, the rule that is like, are two women on the screen for more than 5 minutes talking about something other than a man?
Well,
that's kind of a test.
Yeah, but I think that being put forth and putting people being aware of that made people go, oh.
It was a revelation. It was like, oh yeah, that never happens.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we all knew it. Those of us who had to play those parts knew it, you know, and there's still a long way to go in other areas, but there is a change from when I started in the business to now. There's definitely a change.
That's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? a tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out. I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the multi-terrain select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. We had a sort of full house during COVID. We kind of podded with our kids and watched a lot of TV, needless to say. And we rewatched Truman Show one night, which does not age. It's really, really good.
Oh, good.
And I'm just wondering whether you ever go back and watch anything old, or if it's just painful or weird. Or
I have a very hard time watching myself, period. I don't enjoy it. I really don't. I love watching everyone else, but I have a very hard time watching myself. I find that as more time goes on, it's easier. So I haven't seen Truman Show in a very long time. And what my experience with each product is very different from the people who view it. For me, it was the experience of making it, the people involved, the memories I have from that time. And Truman Show was just a brilliant in many different ways. Peter Weir is an exceptionally brilliant man. You know, everything about him is brilliant. His personality is brilliant. His artistry is brilliant. His technical ability was unmatched. I've still never seen anything like it. I've never seen a director who is so balanced with his ability to technically handle a crew, a camera, a visual style, to tell a narrative without a visualization that competes with the story, but really enhances it. And then at the same time, be able to work with actors in the way that he could. It was just fun. His brain is so creative and is constantly going, and he has a great sense of humor. And so he was really inspiring to be around. And it was still very early in my career, so I was still a little intimidated and trying to figure it all out.
I'm not going to tell you to watch it. I'm going to tell listeners to watch it because it does really stand up.
And I'm glad to hear that.
It's unique. It's really a different movie. There's not, you know,
there's nothing visually like it either.
Yeah, it was really strange. We had a great time watching it.
Oh, good.
What are you working on now?
Well, at the moment, I'm taking a breather from the 5 years, and then I'm off to Ireland in the spring to go do a British indie with Kathy Bates and Maggie Smith, which I'm excited about.
Wow.
I'm very excited about that. And then I'm hoping there's another indie after that later in the summer. So I'm trying to see what play I want to do next. And, you know, so I'm sort of waiting to see what happens. You know, things don't, you know, my career fortunately has been very gradual, but consistent. So I find that even when there's a big success, like I remember the Truman Show or Ozark or something like it, my life doesn't change an enormous amount. So I just keep doing what I do. You know, I do my indies. I go back to the theater. If a great job comes along, terrific.
And theater is definitely part of your future.
No, without a doubt. Yeah.
Is it your first love? You're a New Yorker.
Well, it's just so part of who I am. It's part of my inheritance. I mean, I'm the daughter of a playwright, and I grew up in the theater, and I grew up in New York City, and I adore everything about it. I love what it does. I love how it does it. I love what's required to do it. I love that there is the element of time that is an essential ingredient, which is not the case with film and TV, because time has a magical quality, just like with food, what it will do. You know, things grow and change and meld together, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't create that. it just happens. And you have to earn it. You have to earn deep, deep, deep connections just through doing it. I always tell people, like, don't go see a play unless it's been running for 3 months. It will be a very different experience from seeing it open. Opening night's very exciting. It's thrilling opening night. But if you see a show 3 months later, it's going to be a lot better. It just will.
It will have melded.
Yeah, it will have stewed. It's, you know, it just, there's connections that happen. Things start talking to each other that just going to take time. It just takes time. Things have to grow. It's not instant pudding. I always, you know, think like, this is not instant pudding. You don't just add water and go. You just don't. You have to be patient. You have to sit in discomfort when things don't work while you move through something, while you have growing pain. Like it's a whole other animal.
I love that.
And I love it. I mean, and then you really feel like you're invested in something. You are in it in a very different way.
So that can't happen in a movie. That can't happen in a series, like that
Not
kind of maturation
way.
Of a growing ensemble.
A little bit if you're able to do something for a long period of time with the same people. I think with Ozark, that happened a bit because there was just the core of us who were together for a long period of time. So we had those connections in a way. But when you don't know the whole story, you can't, there's a lot you can't really sink into because you don't know where the story's going. With an encapsulated narrative, you go back and you do it again. And then you go back and do it again. You go back and you do it again. And there's that wonderful period of time where you work on the play. And then there's that magical moment. Doesn't happen all the time, but if things are going your way, you stop working on the play and the play will start working on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very liberating when that happens. And then it takes on a life of its own. It really becomes, it becomes alive. That's what you hope that happens. It doesn't always happen. And when it doesn't, it feels terrible. But when it does happen, it's art. Then that's art.
Do you cook? We're going to transition to food. Yeah. Do you bring any of this wisdom to your cooking?
I so try to cook. And sometimes I'm better at it than others. But I have a hard time enjoying what I cook.
Mm.
I don't know what that psychological thing is. Like I made a thing last night. I made, you know, roasted vegetables and sausage, and the person who I was sharing it with, my assistant was with me, and he ate it. He loved it. And I was like, eh. I don't know. He was like, this is delicious. I didn't know you could cook like this. I was like, really? Is it really good? I don't know. Tastes like a sausage and some vegetables that were sort of steamed and didn't really roast. Really? And I don't think he was blowing smoke. I think he really meant it. So,
well, he may have been. I mean, with all due respect,
he was hungry.
And he may not have known that the vegetables steamed and didn't roast. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So I try. I really want to be better. And I do cook. But yeah, so I was baking a lot during the pandemic, which was really fun. And I was better at that than I thought I would be. And then the cooking, I go in and out. Like anything, the more you do it, the better you get.
Right.
And, you know, the more dexterous you get, the deeper your understanding. Things that at one point were very intimidating become secondhand nature. So for me, I'm so in and out of the practice of cooking that I feel like I'm constantly starting at square one. I'm better now at this age than I was 20 years ago. That's for sure.
I've met a lot of chefs in my life who just never seem to eat. Professional chefs,
really?
who just are so, I wouldn't say turned off, but they just get full from doing the cooking. I mean, maybe they taste and snack and stuff, but they never sit down to a proper meal or rarely sit down to a proper meal.
I want to be one of those people that has that sort of, you know, spiritual enlightened moment with food, like the foodies seem to have. I see it in them. I see it in their bodies. I see their cells change when they eat. Like, I want to have that, and I don't have that. I enjoy really great food, and the best food I've ever had was in Italy. I mean, having a great meal in Italy was an unbelievable experience, but that doesn't happen to me regularly. You know, I want my food to be a little more magical than it is. I want it to, and it just isn't.
I think, I mean, I would
I just
say,
can't, can't do it. It's okay.
I would say keep at it, because there's nothing better than, I mean, I'm hypercritical of my own cooking, and often people will be sitting around, I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but often people will be sitting around telling me how good something is, and I'll be like, no, just like what happened to you last night. I'm like, no, this part's not good, and this part's, I didn't do this right, and I'm sorry about that. But when you feel like you did everything right, when you feel like you cooked it and you did everything right and you can really enjoy it, that is, I mean, yeah, that's the moment. Yeah. That's what you're looking for. It's really great.
And that's like when you're in a great play or in a movie that works, it's the same thing. I mean, there's nothing worse than me doing a project and I'm not happy with my work. I don't like it. It could have been better. And people are like, that was fantastic. That's almost worse to me than being bad and people saying, oh, well, sorry, that wasn't so good.
So are there things, do you have favorites? Are there things that you feel like your standards that you know you're?
Well, there are things I go back to because they're sort of, you know, like a shrimp piraeus that my mother used to make. And
what's piraeus?
It's a tomato sauce, basically, with, you know, stewed tomatoes and a little bit of wine and a little bit of anchovy. And it's a Greek sort of dish.
I wonder where that name came from.
I'll send it to you. It's very easy.
Okay. Yeah,
it's very easy, and you can do it. You throw it on pasta or throw it on rice, and it's
right.
It's
sounds like what I had for lunch, minus the shrimp.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, I usually end by saying, "What'd you have for dinner last night?" But I already know what you had for dinner last night.
Yes.
So, how about if I ask you what the last great meal you had was?
Oh, I think the last great meal I had. That's a really good question. I think it was Thanksgiving.
So why? You gotta do better than
no,
that.
I know. It was Thanksgiving. It was really, because for me, it's what makes a great meal is also the company. What makes a great meal is the environment. My house was up and buzzing. I have a lot of my favorite people here. We all made a dish. We were all in the kitchen together. It was, and for me, that's a great meal.
Well, that's cool. That's good.
I know it's a great meal. It's a simple meal, but it's a great meal. There's a restaurant in Dumbo called Almar, which is a great Italian restaurant. And the food is just so good. I could eat there three meals a day. I really could. I just love the food there. It's simple. It's potent. It's well-balanced. You never feel overstuffed. You always feel satisfied. They make a shrimp salad.
You probably just ruined it, you know, because now that's tomorrow, 100,000 people are going to show up there.
It's so good. They have a wild shrimp salad that is the perfect lunch. Perfect. And then they make a spinach bolognese, which just knocks my socks off every time I have it. And I tend to just eat that over and over and over and over and over again. And I am always amazed how I'm not disappointed. I'm having it again.
I do that. I get favorites in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And just, yeah.
And that's where I go. So I think any Almar meal for me is good.
Well, thank you. It's really been fun and encouraging in a way for me for the future of what we're trying to do here. Because, you know, there's some pressure to talk to chefs all the time. But
yeah, no.
we don't want to do that.
Things intersect in surprising ways. You have to trust that.
Okay, Laura mentions a shrimp salad that she likes, and in honor of that, I'm going to give you my grilled shrimp salad with Thai basil. This is an awesome Southeast Asian recipe. Set up a grill or a broiler, whichever you like. Make it so that your rack, wherever you're grilling or broiling, is about 3 or 4 inches from the heat source. And marinate about a pound of shrimp, peeled in 2 tablespoons soy sauce, 1 tablespoon or more of chili garlic paste. Obviously, you can make that, but you can buy it as well. And some chopped fresh Thai basil, at least 1 tablespoon or 2. So let that sit while you proceed with the recipe. And the recipe is juice a couple of limes, mix that lime juice with 1 tablespoon of nam pla, that is fish sauce. You could use soy sauce instead. pinch of cayenne or to taste a half a teaspoon of sugar, just a little bit you want for sweetness, 4 cups of torn lettuce leaves, Boston lettuce, romaine lettuce. You can use any mixture of greens you want here. And then a cup of torn Thai basil, or you can use Thai basil mixed with mint, or you can use Thai basil, mint, and cilantro. Any of those is going to be great here. And a cucumber, let's say a medium cucumber or 2 small ones, peeled if the skin is tough, seeded if there's a lot of seeds, chopped up. Mix all of that together. If it's thick, you might add a tiny bit of water. It should be kind of thin. And do that in a bowl. The lime juice, the fish sauce, the cayenne, the sugar, a little bit of water if you need it, with the lettuce, mint, cucumber. I forgot red onion. You want a little bit, a couple tablespoons of chopped red onion or shallot. Put that salad on a platter, grill or broil that shrimp, and top the salad with the shrimp and any juices that are in the pan if you broiled it. Garnish with a little more chopped fresh basil or cilantro or mint or all of the above, and serve. Enjoy that. Thanks to Laura Linney for bravely appearing on a food podcast. She was fun, right? You can follow her at It's Me, Laura Linney. And season 4 of Ozark is set to premiere on April 29th. Let me remind you, you can email us at food@markbittman.com, and please check out bittmanproject.com. Thanks to Kate Bittman, Catherine Lowe, and Davis Lloyd, all of whom contributed to producing this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.